welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall, Instagram at @RedRock_BBall, Facebook.com/RedRockBasketball, email is RedRockFantasyBasketball@gmail.com, and don't forget to check out the YouTube channel with some new videos going up pretty much every day at the moment, and it'd be great if you could go across there, have a look at them, leave some comments, subscribe to the YouTube channel, that'd be fantastic. Here to do another of the Season in Review podcast today. I'm not doing this one alone. I am joined by the wonderful Matt Smith. Matt, how are you going?
Hey, Josh. How are you?
Good. Now, Matt, we're going to be covering your boys, the Phoenix Suns, today.
That is.
Here comes the sun. Do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
I have to apologize for John Lennon cutting you off there, Matt. But we are covering the Phoenix Suns, and disappointing. Is that a word you'd use for the season?
Yeah, very disappointing in more ways than one, on the court and off the court.
We will touch on that a little bit later, the off court issues that plague the Phoenix Suns. But look, a strange season. It's fair to say, disappointing, strange. Some bizarre moves. What did you make overall of the Brandon Knight deal? Are you happy that they gave up that potential top five pick for Knight?
Not the potential top five pick. I'm not. Probably more frustrated that sort of this time last season we were going to the draft with 3 first round draft picks and a load of cap space, and we got IT out of it, who's no longer there. TJ Warren at pick 12 or 14 off the top of my head, I think, who's hardly got any playing time. I think at 18 we had Tyler Ennis, who's no longer there, and at 27, some kid who's still sitting in Europe. So not much has changed in 12 months, and now we're going to another off-season with pick 13 and, once again, a little bit of cap space. There's Suns have been linked with a couple of big-name free agents, but it's going to be tough to land them once again.
I think that's pretty accurate. I don't know if they're going to really have much of a shot at any of the big, anything can happen, I guess, but I'm not really sure they're going to have much of a shot at the many free agents that are out there. Let's talk some fantasy stuff for this team though, Matt. We'll start with the guards, start with the point guards, and the best player on this team is Eric Bledsoe, in a real life perspective and from a fantasy perspective. And he was fantastic from a fantasy perspective last year. We've heard a lot of the talk about Bledsoe. He's injury prone. He's always going to miss games. Well, he missed one game last season. 35 minutes a game, 17 points, over a 3, over 5 rebounds, over 6 assists, over 1.5 steals, 45 and 80. Fantastic. I had him ranked as the 9th best roto player and the 15th best head-to-head player. What was your take on his season? He has captured that. He's the man now on this team, correct?
Yeah, sure is. It's his team. Just on those stats, he was only one of 4 guys to average at least 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 steals and a 3. So it was him, Russell Westbrook, James Harden and LeBron James. So not in a bad group there. And as you, well, I don't know if I'm sorry if you mentioned, but he only missed the one game due to the birth of his child. So didn't miss a game due to injury, which was huge for fantasy owners. And hopefully he's got some of that injury prone label, away from his name.
Well, let's hope so. Now, he did struggle a little bit towards the end of the season. We're talking his per game value was 31st overall. But down the stretch, the last month, ranked just 74th, a bit of a drop-off. Can you attribute that to the presence of Brandon Knight, do you think?
I don't think so. I hope the Suns can sign Brandon Knight in the off-season. I think he's a really good fit next to Bledsoe. They both played college ball together, and they both can play with the ball or without the ball. Eric Bledsoe, obviously, is a bit of a ball hog. I think it was probably more just the wear and tear of the season, as we said, playing 81 games, which he hasn't played before his whole career, definitely not in the last couple of seasons, averaging nearly 35 minutes as well. Maybe a couple of those off-court things sort of affected the team as well. I don't think the chemistry was very good around the team, so there's probably a few external reasons as well.
I would say that's pretty accurate. Where are we looking at him for next season as a rough guide? Is he top 20, top 30?
He's definitely top 30 in my book. He's going to be sort of somewhere between 20 and 30, I think. And I know you've been pumping up Victor Oladipo. I wanted to ask you, next season, who have you got, Oladipo or Bledsoe?
I would take Bledsoe ahead of Oladipo.
Okay, yeah.
Would you?
Probably. One of the main reasons would be for the Suns' up-tempo offense. I'm a little bit concerned around Oh, I've had a mental blank. Who's in your
Scott
special man?
Skiles.
Scott Skiles and his defensive ways
Yeah.
there at the Magic.
That's a little bit concerning, to be honest. Like, I was talking Oladipo before that news of Skiles had broken and was confirmed. So that worries me slightly because he's not the most masterful offensive mind. He was obviously a great point guard in terms of his assist numbers, which might help Oladipo, but it might limit Oladipo's fantasy potential to a degree.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning Bledsoe as well. You might be able to get Oladipo maybe a little bit later in the draft, maybe not a whole round later.
I think it'll be hard to get both of them in a
yeah,
snake draft.
So do I.
They'll
but,
both go the same round, I would guess.
Yeah, but this is Bledsoe's team now, so all signs point to another solid fantasy season next year.
Well, let's talk about the guy who's probably the second best player on this team. He's a restricted free agent, and that's who we are. We talked about earlier, Brandon Knight, who they acquired in that trade that was sending guys all over the place, Isaiah Thomas and draft picks and all that sort of stuff. He's a restricted free agent. All signs point to the Suns going to retain him as a player for next season. Now, he suffered a few injuries himself. He only played 63 games. But I think, Matt, this might surprise you. His head-to-head per game ranking was actually higher than Bledsoe's. He came in at 27th, and Bledsoe was 31st. But I think most of that value is from his days in Milwaukee. Post All-Star break, which is his time in Phoenix, he was the 125th ranked player. Which one's the real Eric Bledsoe, the top 30 guy or the top 130 guy?
Eric Bledsoe or
no,
Brandon?
No, Brandon Knight, sorry, my mistake.
Yep. Probably somewhere in between. He only played the 11 games with Phoenix, averaged 13 points, 4.5 assists. Steals dropped from 1.6 with the Bucks to just half a steal with the Suns, and his field goal percentage as well went from 43 to 35, which isn't good. So, yeah, it'll take him a little bit of time to sort of form that chemistry with Bledsoe and the other Suns players next year. Obviously, the usage won't be there that he had in Milwaukee, but I still see him being probably a fourth, fifth round point guard.
Oh, I think that's too high for me.
Too high?
Yeah, I think that he's going to... he's not going to be a top 130 guy, but I think he's a 75 to 80, Ooh. 80 sort of guy. I think he's going to go off the board before then. That means I just won't have any sort of pieces of him. I was really excited for him last season in Milwaukee, but in this situation with Bledsoe, and as you say, he's not the guy with the ball in his hands. He had no one else had the ball in their hands really in Milwaukee. He dictated things. He was the best player on that team by a long margin. I just think he's going to suffer a significant regression, similar to what we saw after he was traded, maybe not to the same extent because of the injuries which did impact him. But he still played 32 minutes a game in those 11 games, and we saw a significant drop-off in numbers basically across the board. And I think that he is going to suffer a big letdown from what we saw early on in Milwaukee.
So Brandon Knight then or Isaiah Thomas?
I haven't really looked into Thomas much at this point. I will take Knight still, just you.
I still like them around that 50 mark, just outside maybe the top 50.
It still strikes me as early. The other point guard on this roster, Matt, is Jarrell McNeil. Do you know anything about him that we need to? I'm sure you know something about him, but do we need to be concerned about the 6 games and 6 minutes that he played?
No, we don't. The backup point guard there is Archie Goodwin.
Yep.
So if for some reason that Knight doesn't end up in this roster and they don't get another backup or Eric Bledsoe does get injured, I think, Archie Goodwin will be that first guard off the bench.
McNeil is still signed for next season, though.
Yeah.
He's still around. Well, let's transition into Archie Goodwin because I think there's a big sleeper tag hanging over this guy for deeper leagues, not for standard leagues, but I do like what he was able to do down the stretch. He looked good in the times when he got decent minutes. Now, he only played 41 games and 13 minutes a game, 5.5 points, not much else, 0.3 threes, less than 2 rebounds, 1 assist, half a steal, poor shooting. He's heading into his third season, though, and I think the guys in deeper leagues and dynasty formats, especially if Knight leaves, he's going to be a potential 14-team, maybe 12-team league guy. He was the 402nd guy ranked per game in head-to-head leagues. That's not good at all. But I think we see a dramatic rise from him. He should crack the top 200 next season. That would be my early guess. What's your take on Goodwin just from watching him and fantasy prospects moving forward?
Yeah, we did the Suns preview at the start of the season, and we both loved Archie Goodwin. That's still the case. Gerald Green's an unrestricted free agent, so Depends if they bring him back as well. That might open up more minutes for Archie Goodwin, but he's been screaming out for minutes. So yeah, if he can play that backup point role, get sort of 18 to 22 minutes off the bench, he comes into calculations in maybe 14, 16 team type leagues.
Yep. A couple of other shooting guards on this roster. Marcus Thornton, who was paid $8.5 million for last season, Matt. Can you believe that? Seems a lot.
It's excessive, put it that way.
He's an unrestricted free agent. I think it's unlikely he is back in Phoenix. He's definitely not back in Phoenix at that sort of salary.
No way.
He's a guy who can catch fire, though, and go on hot streaks of scoring and, you know, usefulness in fantasy leagues. He only played 15 minutes a game, but he did hit over a three a game, 8 points. He put that out to 30 minutes a game. We're talking 16 points and two threes, which is fantastic. It's unlikely he gets 30 minutes a team on any team because he is just a long-range bomber, basically. That's the only part or the only thing he can really do from a fantasy point of view. But if he's in a situation where there's minutes available, he is someone to keep an eye on. But there's just too many other guys here. We talked Goodwin, there's Reggie Bullock, could they bring Gerald Green back? There's Danny Granger, who's got a $2 million player option. We didn't actually see him in Phoenix, even though he's still on the books there. There's just a number of other options that they can go with.
Just before we move on, before to other positions, Brandon Knight, what sort of contract would you give him?
I think that he gets 4 years, 44.
Yeah, I was leaning maybe even a little bit higher with the increase in salary cap, somewhere around the 45. Even if they went to 50,
I can stomach that.
I wouldn't mind that too much. Similar sort of deal to Kyle Lowry, got 4 years and 48. Ty Lawson's on similar. And, Brandon Knight's got age on his side at just 23.
Yeah, I can stomach all that sort of numbers. Up to 50 million is fine. And you're not going to go too much above that. You're not going to give him a 4 year 60 million or anything like that. But any of those other numbers, I think, is reasonable. Another shooting guard on this team who was brought over in a trade, Reggie Bullock. First-round pick of the Clippers in 2013. What's your take on him? Did you see anything that excited you? Because I haven't seen anything from him in 2 years that's been worth anything.
No, I haven't either. We had a question about Reggie Bullock in dynasty leagues. I just can't see him cracking the rotation, sort of the shooting guard, small forward as well. He's got Bledsoe, Archie Goodwin, as we spoke about, Brandon Knight, and then you go to the small forward, PJ Tucker, Marcus Morris, TJ Warren. He's that... fourth, fifth banana off the bench. So very, very little there, and I wouldn't be wasting too much of my time worrying about Reggie Bullock in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, that was Barry Baker that asked that question. I don't think he's got a solid future anywhere in the league, really. It's not looking good for this at this stage. Now, way back to Brandon Knight. We had a question on him as well from Van Burf, who's on Twitter, @VanBurf. Is Phoenix really interested in paying Knight, as he's clearly incapable of being the primary ball guy per time in Milwaukee? Now, I disagree with that. I think that he is capable of being the primary ball handler. He was the primary ball handler in Milwaukee, and he excelled. Possibly should have been an all-star. I know it's a weakened Eastern Conference, but he's not going to be the primary ball handler in Phoenix. He'll be 1A to Bledsoe's, or 1B to Bledsoe's 1A. I'm sure they want him back. You'd agree with that?
So do I. I was a bit perplexed about that question as well, and disagree. His last two seasons in Milwaukee been really good. As you said, he won't be primary ball handler, but he can play off the ball. He doesn't need to do anything fancy. As I said, he's got that chemistry with Bledsoe from college. He's a great size at 6'3". He's a pretty reasonable defender. He's long, so I reckon he's a really good fit in the Suns' offensive system as well.
Let's move on to some of the other wing players. Gerald Green, who you touched on before, is an unrestricted free agent. Chances of him coming back?
Probably depends on what they can do in the draft. Yep. If there's a sort of that wing type there that they can pick. But, yeah, he's probably a fair chance to return, depending on the contract.
Now, he played just 20 minutes a game this season after a real breakout campaign the year before, but still hit almost two triples a game and had 12 points a game in just 20 minutes. He doesn't do much else, but he's always a great guy for threes. When you know he's going to play. The problem was we just didn't know which games he was going to play and which games he was going to be completely left out of the rotation. And it made it really hard to own him in fantasy leagues. He ended up the season as 207th per game. That's not ideal. But there were times when you had to use him And there are times when you couldn't use him. He was great at daily fantasy when you thought he was going to get minutes when Brandon Knight was out. But it seemed to be quite fickle as to when he would be used or when he wasn't. Danny Granger. I don't know what to make of Danny Granger. We didn't see him in Phoenix at all after the trade when he came across when Goran Dragic was sent to Miami. Didn't play at all. He's still got a player option. Now, from what I understand, Matt, that he didn't play in Phoenix, not because he was injured, because he didn't want to play in Phoenix. Is that correct?
I haven't heard that. I know I've heard something different in the offseason, so tell me what you know.
I don't know much. This is me just having a trying to recall back from a couple of months ago. I just thought he just was not happy to be there. Was using partial injury as an excuse, but probably could have played. If he had been in Miami, he would have been playing. And Phoenix just said, well, that's fine. You just sit it out, mate. And I reckon they've got a bit of an agreement that he's not going to take that player option because he doesn't want to be there. What do you know about the situation?
The only thing I've read that apparently Danny Granger's been back at training already.
Okay, well, there you go.
And he himself is hoping to still stay on the roster. Ryan McDonough, the GM, has also been pretty vocal around getting some veteran leadership on this roster. So I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Granger is part of that. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be fantasy relevant or he's getting 20 minutes a night, but as a guy on the bench and in that locker room where they have had issues this season, $2 million, it's probably worth it.
It's up to him, I guess, with his player option. But look, I haven't seen that recent report about him back in training and keen to get on with it. He played 20 minutes a game last year, 6.5 points, not a lot else. He's not getting any better. He did hit a three a game, but he's not getting any better. He's not Danny Granger, the all-star from 5 years ago. He is a washed-up shell of a player at this point, and there's no upside for him in dynasty leagues. There's no point in drafting him outside of deep 30-team leagues. Maybe that's probably about the limit for Danny Granger, I would think, at this point. And a couple more wing players that we haven't talked about. Let's talk PJ Tucker, one of my favorites. As a roto player, he was a 68th ranked player. Per game in head-to-head, 110th. So he was useful in all forms of leagues. And you look at his numbers and maybe you think, oh, he averaged 9.1 points. But that's not the story. It's over a three a game. It's 6.5 rebounds. It's 1.5 steals. It's pretty solid percentages, 44 and 73. And he's a guy who's a shooting guard. Remember, getting 6 rebounds out of a shooting guard, plus over a three, plus 1.5 steals. They're pretty important numbers, and it's that thing that I always stress, Matt, is even though that threes and steals, one is a low number, but one of each of those things is actually high in the relative scope of things. Now, we talked TJ Warren a little bit before. We're going to talk about him a little bit more in a second. Does he start taking away PJ Tucker's minutes? I just think that Tucker is so invaluable for this team as a defensive presence and a scrappy guy, and they don't have many of those sort of players as we go down the roster.
No, they don't. I will admit, I was surprised that they did give him a three-year, I think it was $15, $16 million contract at the start of the season, pretty much after he went and did some drink driving as well. And we talk about veteran leadership, and then your oldest and most experienced guy goes out and does that prior to the season. But he did have a pretty good fantasy season. I did think towards the end of the season that they would start giving more minutes to TJ Warren and sort of getting some game time into him for next season. But as you said, Hornacek loves him. He does all the defensive things, the little things, the boxing out, the rebounds, the hustles. 1.4 steals, 1.1 threes on the season. You can't argue with that. And just another one of these wing players that you can get either later in drafts or off the waiver wire, like a poor man's Damari Carroll, if you like, and just slot him in and away he goes.
Yeah, it's a pretty good explanation or description of him as the poor man's Damari Carroll. He is that guy who you probably won't get drafted, but I'm happy taking him in the last pick of any leagues. I took him in the last round of leagues last season in 10 and 12 team leagues. Even with his suspension, I just wanted to have him and held on to him all season, and it ended up pretty good for me. TJ Warren is the guy we're talking about. Now, he didn't play a huge amount of games. He really played well in summer league, but couldn't crack the rotation early on. Played only 40 games and 15 minutes a game. But he definitely cranked it up towards the end of the season in terms of more minutes. The last month, he saw 23 minutes a game. And we can look at his head-to-head rankings. For the season, 327. But the last month, 203. So that's not enough to really move the needle in standard leagues. But it's enough to say, he's improving. And they were giving him more minutes. Now, he didn't necessarily do a huge amount with those minutes. Only 8.3 points. 2.6 rebounds. He's a guy who can't hit threes, but he can rebound, he can score, and he shot 53% from the season, which is great because he does love getting to the getting to the rim, and that's basically how he scores. And I think as he gets more experienced, he'll be able to do that with a little bit more ease. What's your thought on TJ Warren? Has he become a 12-team league sleeper guy?
Not quite for me. Just doesn't do enough. As you said, points are good. Field goal percentage is, say, 50. He had some, as you said, doesn't have a game. Defense, sort of. He did sort of average a steal over his last 10 games or so. But for me, A, doesn't do enough and still needs to get some minutes. I don't think he's one of these guys that 24 minutes is going to be enough for him to be fantasy relevant in 12 or 14 team leagues.
No, he's going to need that 34, 33 minutes to really put up numbers. And the path to that is not all that clear in Phoenix at the moment.
Unless one of our next guys doesn't end up back on the roster next season.
Yeah, so let's talk Marcus Morris first. And definitely was a surprise. He played really, really well down the stretch. A great Roto player, 107th ranked in Roto. Head-to-head, not quite as good. He was 222nd per game, but in the last month, up to 146th, and put up some decent numbers. 25 minutes, 10.5 points, 1.5 threes, which is probably one of his strengths, was the big man hitting threes. Almost 5 rebounds. But really shocking percentages. Let's cover them together. Let's talk Markieff as well, because we'll talk about their off-field situation or off-court situation. Markieff played all 82 games, 32 minutes a game, 15 points, almost a three a game, over 6 rebounds, over a steal, 47 and 76, so a better percentage guy than what his brother was. And his numbers per game in head-to-head, 96, but 58th overall because he played every game. His Roto numbers were great. He is a very good Roto player because he contributes all across the board. Struggled a bit down the stretch. That's maybe a little bit of an understatement. We did have a question about Markieff about what is he? Is he that top 50 guy we saw at stretches, or is he a top 150 guy that we saw at stretches? You can answer that one first about Markieff. Where is he? I don't think we take him inside the top 50 next season.
No, we don't. He was pretty disappointing for me. He had a slight uptick in points, slight uptick in steals, but his efficiency dropped 48% to 46 from the field and 79 down to 76 from the stripe, which really hurt. And just the 6.2 rebounds on the season. So you got more rebounds out of PJ Tucker from that shooting guard small forward position than you did from a power forward center big, which in the end hurts you more than it helps. So Markieff had a lot of hype coming into the season. Probably went in the 60-70 range, and in the end, that's probably about where we'll go again next season, I would think.
Yeah, and now, does Marcus go in standard leagues? I think everything sort of broke right for him at the end of the season in terms of openings and positioning. With Alex Len being injured, it allowed Markieff to play centre and Marcus to play the four. That doesn't necessarily happen again next year. I think he is not someone I'm going to deal with for standard leagues. As things stand right now, would you agree with that?
Definitely not standard leagues. Probably 14 teams, don't mind him as a late round guy. Points, rebounds. He had some nice assist games, as you mentioned before, hitting the threes. Percentages are average. Gets some steals, but doesn't get any blocks. And do you want to mention?
Yeah, let's talk
about what happened.
Let's talk their off court situation, Matt. What happened?
Well, I don't want to get you sued, but they've been allegedly involved in an incident. They're back in court on June 30, which is 4 days after the draft. So I believe the Suns were trying to shop them around and get rid of them last year before they sort of broke. But now they're stuck with them. So, yeah, we'll see what happens come the end of the month.
Yeah, and that's part of what we alluded to earlier on with locker room issues and maturity issues is the way this whole incident went down. It was a quite a bizarre sort of situation. It really shouldn't ever escalated into that sort of level of incident.
And we also saw Marcus Morris had one of the biggest blow-up yelling matches with a coach that I reckon I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, just Google Marcus Morris and Jeff Hornacek and you'll see it. But that was, pretty full on.
This team had a lot of disciplinary issues. We saw that thing where Jeff Hornacek brought in about any time anyone got a technical, they were sat down for the rest of the game. And that's brought on by the undisciplined behaviour of Markieff, of Marcus. Goran Dragic was an example. Isaiah Thomas copped it. Lots of these guys copped that idea that Hornacek had, just of we're going to sit guys when you get a tech, because these guys played without any responsibility, really. It wasn't a great sign at all for the team. Brandon Wright. Okay, he's an unrestricted free agent. He came, he's played on his third team for the season. He was always a guy like, oh, when this guy starts, he's going to get big minutes, he's going to put up big numbers, but he just never seems able to be able to do it. Now, down the stretch, he did do it when Alex Len was injured, and he put up okay numbers. Overall for the season, Matt, he's a 98th ranked player in head-to-head leagues, despite playing off the bench for three different teams. And down the stretch, he was the 98th ranked player as well in the last month. He can put up fantasy numbers. It's just, is he ever going to be a guy who gets 28 to 30 minutes?
No, I don't think so. I think his time's just about past 27 now. He's been on, what, 1, 2, 3, 4?
A lot.
Yeah, a few different teams. The only way he can get or have fantasy relevance next season if he does come back to the Suns and Alex Len either A, gets injured again, or B, can't keep out of foul trouble. He's gone at about 6.8 fouls per 36 minutes. So, and as we saw with Alex Len's injury at the end of the season, that opened up some playing time for Wright, and he had some pretty big games. But yeah, once again off the bench, he's going to struggle.
He's not someone that I think is going to have much fantasy standard league relevance next season. Wherever he goes, he's a very, very good NBA backup, like very good, like a key piece to a lot of teams. And I think Phoenix will definitely want him back to play that backup role. But he's not a center. He doesn't have star. No, so he's not a starting center. Doesn't have star potential or anything like that. He doesn't have star fantasy potential because he just doesn't seem to be able to play big minutes or play out those big minutes. Let's talk Alex Len now. I was thrilled when he got the starting job. He obviously had issues with the injuries. Only played 22 minutes a game, 6 points, but 6.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 51 and 70 is two percentages. I really like Alex Len as a player. He's a better head-to-head guy than a roto guy. And actually, over the course of the season, only playing 22 minutes a game, he was the 132nd ranked player. I think next season he should be a lock for every league an eight-team league. You wouldn't want to draft him. But 10s and 12s, I think you have to have Alex Len in your sights. I think he could be in for a big season, pushing himself to 26 to 28 minutes. He could be an 8-point, 10 rebound, 2 block sort of guy. And that's pretty valuable. Do you see Alex Len with as brighter rose-coloured glasses as what I do?
Yeah, I do. In February, that was his best month. Averaged 7 points, 9 rebounds, 2.5 blocks in 28 minutes. So you're pretty much spot on there if you can get 28, 30, pushing 32 minutes with a healthy season. And the Suns need to use him more as well. He's sort of stuck in that Jonas Valanciunas mode at Toronto, where he's playing with a couple of ball hogs who just, you know, Lowry and DeRozan, who put up 40 shots a game. He might be in a similar situation next season with Bledsoe and Brandon Wright. So hopefully the Suns can start to use him a bit more in the post, and he can get some confidence, and that'll really boost his value.
No, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I reckon he had at least 4 games of 5 or 6 blocks, and a lot of them were in that February stretch. It was like, okay, 6 blocks, 0 blocks, 6 blocks, 0 blocks.
Yep.
And he just put up blocks in bushels. Was that time where you could have gotten blocks off the waiver wire easily? Whiteside came into the league and Noel started going crazy after a real slow start. Len was there doing it. Yusuf Nurkic was around. There was just blocks everywhere. And I think Len's in for a really big season, heading into his third season, even after his rookie season was a bit of a washout.
Yeah, it was right after the All-Star break. He went 11-10 with 6 blocks, and then 8-11 with 1 block, 10-12 with 6 blocks.
Yep.
And then, 6-10-1, and then had another 3-block game in that, what, 5-game stretch.
Yeah, I remember that. He was just going crazy with block numbers. And I think, he's someone that I like a lot for dynasty leagues. I think he can easily be a top 100 player in the next 2 to 3 seasons. And I think that he could comfortably be that next season. I'm happy to taking him in the last three rounds of any sort of draft. I think that he's their center of the future. They're not going to get anyone better with the 13th pick this season, although they probably will still look for a big guy, I would say, in the draft.
You got someone in mind?
I'll get to that in one. Oh. Is there anything else we have to talk about on this team?
Earl
Barron? No, let's not worry about him.
No, I don't need to worry about Earl.
Who do I have in mind for this team? Well, I guess it obviously depends on who they on who they pick, who gets picked ahead of him. Trey Lyles would be interesting if he went there. Miles Turner, I think, would be an interesting fit as well. But I see Indiana taking Miles Turner. It obviously depends a lot on what happens. But I think they go power forward or center.
Kaminsky?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I think that he would be a fantastic fit. But I, again, I think he should go a little bit earlier than that as well. But all these guys can't go earlier. But there's three distinct options there that I think are real real intriguing guys for the Suns to pick at that pick 13. Who do you have them looking, or who do you want them to take?
Kaminsky's really interesting. Inside outside shooter. I was watching some video of him, and man, he was just automatic. I know they're only in the gym and mucking around and stuff, but still. So I haven't sort of gone past my top 10 yet. So I'll still working on that. And when we do the draft mock, we'll get into that further. But I think they probably just need to take the best player. Yep. I'm hoping they at least try to make a splash in free agency as well. I did get told sort of halfway during the season that they're going to throw max at Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Kawhi Leonard. Now, chances of landing one of those three are probably zero. I was going to say slim, but okay, zero. Whether they look at a Millsap or an Aldridge or someone else as well. But
Munro.
Yeah, Munro would be a good fit as well.
I think he's an upgrade over Markieff.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Markieff's a bench guy in a, you know, your sixth, seventh man in a championship team. He's not a championship starter.
Munro's a pretty good offensive guy. Leonard bails him out with the blocks and defensive numbers. Not that he's a terrible defender. He's a good guy getting steals and not a bad defender. But pairing those together would be great, I think. I think that would be a real nice move. And we heard there was that whispered Bledsoe for Munro trade last season when they were both not signing their restricted free agent tender. But I think getting him across as an unrestricted guy would be would help this team exceptionally. Are there any questions we didn't cover from the listeners?
Not that I can think of. We had Markieff, Knight, and I think that was all.
Yep, that's it. All right, now a quick note to everyone who has applied for the Red Rock Dynasty League. You can still apply. I'm going to be making the decisions over the weekend, but thank you to everyone who's done that so far. Matt, we've had a stack of responses, obviously too many to fit into the league. We've got 13 spots in the league up for grabs. I've got well in excess of that. So
you had three leagues.
Well, I've got enough to fill three leagues. I don't know if I'm going to be able to run three dynasty leagues of that magnitude, but there is a lot. And but if you don't happen to make the cut for the dynasty league, you'll always be on the like a reserve list if someone has to pull out. Plus, there is going to be the standard Red Rock Listener League, and I would guess there'll be multiple ones of that one that I can run throughout the season. There'll be multiple just standard redraft listener leagues throughout the season as well. You've had a look at the rules for the dynasty league, Matt. Any words of advice to people who may be successful in getting in?
Good luck.
Yep.
Because it's the most monstrous, deepest, most involved dynasty fantasy league that I've ever seen.
Once I finalize the rules, I am going to post them on the website and email them out to everybody who is successful. But the one piece of advice I give to people at this stage is manage your salary caps.
You're going to need an accountant.
Yeah. I hope you know how to use spreadsheets, which I'm sure you all do, and Excel, because you're going to need some forecasting abilities. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah.
Looking forward to it at all. And Matt, your prize for winning the Red Rock Listener League is on its way. It has been posted, so you will get that soon. So it's been a long time coming, but it is on its way.
Excellent. Thank you. Looking forward to getting that.
Where can everyone find you on Twitter and on other areas of interest?
It's just Twitter for me at S-Man Sports. I don't know what's going on in this off season. I think you're the same. We've had people unfollow us just because it's the end of basketball season. I don't know whether we're shit Twitterers or whatever, but
I'm a pretty shit Twitter. But my followers have gone up.
Well, mine have gone down. Maybe they're jumping from me to you.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure there's room to follow both of us.
So there's NBA finals, there's draft, there's free agency. I've already been discussing top 50 rankings with people for next season just because it's boring and there's nothing to do this week with no basketball on. So join in.
Who's your finals pick?
Still like the Warriors. Yep. Yeah, I think they're the best team. I think LeBron can get at least one, if not, and then probably two wins off his own. So I'll take the Warriors in six. Who have you got?
I've got Warriors in seven.
Okay, yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Curry,
MVP?
I think it's if it's not him, it's Draymond.
Oh yeah. Well, you, You picked it last season.
I did, yeah, out of the box with my Kawhi pick. I think it's going to be hard to go past Steph, though, but Draymond is my rough chance of it. If it's not Curry and the Warriors win, it'll be Draymond would be my guess, not that it's that much of an out-of-the-box pick.
If Steph does win it, I think he becomes the 11th player who would win the season MVP, a championship and finals MVP, 11th player in history of basketball.
Okay, well, they've definitely had a very historic season. Matt, I think we're done now. Follow Matt on Twitter, S-Man Sports, me at all the places where you know. Make sure, you're checking out the YouTube channel so you can see my lips moving as you hear my voice. That's a huge added bonus. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Josh.
And you will hear Matt back on the podcast soon, I'm sure, but there will be the podcast of myself, Matt, and Mark doing a mock draft on the weekend before the NBA draft. So keep a lookout for that coming. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.